This episode of Star Wars in Character is sponsored by Audible.com. Audible.com offers over 100 Star Wars audiobook titles, including Rogue Squadron, Volume 1 of the popular X-Wing series. Audible.com is offering one free download of any audiobook title, including Rogue Squadron or any of the other 100,000-plus audiobook titles Audible.com carries. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/SWIC. Again, that's audibletrial.com/SWIC for your free audiobook.
Is Tim still there?
I'm still here.
Shit.
This is Star Wars in Character, the podcast that takes a closer look at some of the characters in the Star Wars universe you probably never noticed. Backstories, histories, and details you never knew, wanted to know, or ever need to know. Now here are this week's panelists of Star Wars in Character.
Today we are talking about Wedge Antilles. Wedge Antilles appears in the entire original trilogy.
Ooh, I like you're changing it up there.
Yeah.
See that?
Threw me for a loop.
Now, this one to me, I think, is a special episode because he's a big non-character.
A big non.
But it's not a special episode, so...
Yeah. I'm using actors' names for a change.
Oh.
Or our names.
So some you cheaped cool, out.
Some are fucking so cheap and cheesy. My name is Carrie Krischer.
You did that before.
I didn't.
You did.
I wrote it down.
On the live thing, you did.
No, with my iPod.
I think you did it for the live one.
All right.
He did Peter Cushing.
Oh.
And he fucked it up. Yeah, I'm exactly. Peter Chris Cushing?
Yeah, what? There's too many C's in that name.
Wait, no, there is. Fuck. Damn. I hate when I do that shit.
Are you drinking?
Yes, of course I am. For podcasting.
Today I am joined by this is really clever.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Hamill.
Oh.
Yeah, he changed the letter. Dude, two letters.
You think that one sucks?
That's even the one.
Ready for this one?
You haven't seen sucking yet.
I am joined by Dave Prowse. Okay. It's so bad that it's good.
I love that one.
Less is more, much like Kevin Costner.
Ooh. And last but not least, Ian McDiertim.
Who?
Ian McDiertim.
Okay.
How does that fit into McDermott? Because it
McDermott.
Oh, that's what it's supposed to be?
Ian McDermott.
Yeah.
McDiertim.
Okay. Yeah.
Costanza.
Dave Prowse, shut your mouth, all right?
Okay. Dave Prowse is shutting his mouth.
Ian McDiertim.
Yes.
Give us some short, sweet, 10-minute facts, please.
Don't listen to him, Tim.
Not Evan Peele length facts.
Yeah.
About when?
Well, I'm gonna say this right now. Of all of the characters that we have done, every character, Wedge had the most ridiculously long, gigantic Wikipedia entry.
Tim, I was going to print it up, and it came up to 124 pages.
Like, literally?
I'm telling you.
And I said, you know what? I'll do one, and that's it.
Wedge Antilles right now, was a pilot.
Boba Fett doesn't have that many pages. Darth Vader doesn't have that many pages.
I want you to...
Wedge Antilles is... It's ridiculous how much information is out there.
I want to hear.
I think they basically took every single book that he was in, scanned every page, and entered that in on Wikipedia.
And now trivia.
You know why? Because he's the bee's knees, all right? And I want to hear every...
He is.
Are you fucking 80, Dave?
Oh,
the
yes.
The bee's knees.
Bingo.
He's a whippersnapper.
I want to hear everything you got. I want to be immersed in Wedge.
Good shot, Jensen.
I got one thing to say. This right here.
Good shot, Jensen.
Doesn't this sound like Eddie Murphy doing a white guy's voice?
You're right, it does.
It cracks me up. Like, I don't even think it's him.
Good shot, Jensen.
That's
good
him.
Shot, Jensen. All right, I'm sorry. Go on.
All right. Wedge Antilles.
Wah! That got him.
This backstory and after story better be good. Like, I hope they really do him justice.
I think they do a pretty good job. Yeah.
Certainly are thorough anyway. From the sounds of it.
Yeah.
Yes. I have. Yeah, I got a lot here. Wedge is a Corellian pilot from the planet, or I should say the system Corellia. It's the same system that Han Solo was from. When we first see him in A New Hope, he is said to be 21 years old, but the actor who plays him, Dennis Lawson, was actually 28 years old at the time of the shooting. The character, Wedge Antilles, is the son of Jagged and Xena Antilles, who actually owned a fueling depot on their homeworld. While working with his parents on this depot, this is what led to his fascination with spaceships and piloting and ship mechanics.
So is he related to Captain Ramus Antilles?
There is no relation. I think Antilles is like the Smith.
I was going to say, is it the Smith of the Star Wars galaxy?
Yes, I think it's the Smith of the Star Wars galaxy.
Okay.
Wedge Antilles is not related to
that explains
Ramus.
Evan Smith. I fucked that joke up. God damn it. The one thing I had to contribute to this episode is gone. All right. I'm going to the bar. I'll be back in an hour when Tim's done.
There's Wedge Antilles. And then in episode one, there's the name Bail Antilles, who is the father of Breha Antilles, who is the husband of Bail Organa, who is the adopted mother of Leia, and there is no relation to Wedge, right, to any of these other Antilles. All those other Antilles are related.
Well, thanks for wasting our time there, Tim. That was useful.
I was hoping that he was going to be...
Can you explain us in detail how they're not related to Luke, too? That'd be useful.
I was hoping he was going to be related to Ramus Antilles, because he's another character that I really have become interested in a lot recently, and I thought it would just be awesome. So
Is that the guy Vader chokes to death in the opening sequence?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the guy, there's like a handsome version of the guy at the end of episode 3. When they give the droids to this guy and they tell him to wipe three memory. But yeah, like that guy, he's like really the first impression of the rebellion that you get. So I thought it would be cool that if Wedge was related to that guy. I can't wait till we do an episode on that guy.
That would have been cool, but he's not. So let's go.
All right, we're off to a bad start.
Yep, this is going to be a winning episode.
Yeah.
Award-nominated series.
That's right.
I'm sorry, my finger completely cramped and locked up trying to scroll through his entry on Wikipedia. This is long.
Long. I was having issues with my computer bringing that up for some reason. Just a huge, with millions of links on it. Wedge, on his planet, he actually grew up a pretty happy existence. He grew up during the rise of the Empire, but on his planet, he never really felt any real oppression from the Empire. He led a pretty free and happy existence. That happiness unfortunately ended when his parents were killed when their fueling station was destroyed in an accident. Wedge actually witnessed his parents' death as they sacrificed themselves in an effort to save other lives by attempting to contain the explosion, which they did. They contained the explosion, but died in the effort to do so. After the explosion,
Timmy.
Wedge actually became quite wealthy from an insurance payout.
Tim.
Yes.
I actually read when he saw his parents burning in flames that he said,
"Look at the size of that thing."
Carry on.
Through his tears, maybe.
You interrupted Tim for that lame joke?
That's going to be my joke the whole show, man.
I was say, now you made this episode even longer, and I did as well.
I'm like sitting here listening to Tim like intently because I want to know, like, this guy's a real person. I feel like I'm watching the news. Like, I want to know about how his parents died. I'm seriously upset about this.
I'm sitting here looking at your package, and I'm thinking,
look at the size of that thing. Look at the size of that thing.
Anyway, after becoming orphaned, Wedge became wealthy from an insurance payout as a result of his parents' death. So he began working as a freighter pilot. He bought a ship and worked as a freighter pilot. And as a result of being a freighter, he did occasionally work in the fringes of society with smugglers and the like. And one of the people he worked with was Talon Card, who we know from the Timothy Zahn Heir to the Empire novels. But for the most part, he kept his nose clean and legit. During this time, he had fallen in love with a girl named Mala, who was the daughter of one of his work colleagues. But she had some interest in joining the rebellion, but he didn't really have any interest in that. He, as I said, he had a pretty happy life, with the exception of his parents dying, and he felt no oppression by the empire. So he didn't really feel anything until the empire actually came to his planet and bombed his the town that he lived in, because they had intelligence that there was some rebel activity going on there. And during the bombing, his girlfriend was killed. This was the tipping point. This is what prompted him to join up with the rebellion.
So seeing his mom and dad's flesh burn off of their bodies didn't do it, but seeing his girlfriend threw him over the edge.
Well, the Empire didn't kill his parents. The Empire killed his girlfriend.
Yeah, that was an accident.
His parents were killed in an accident.
Come on, pay attention, Chris.
Yeah.
Come on. Wait. I want to hear Mala's last name. Was it Porkins by chance?
You know what? She does have a last name, but I don't. I didn't write it down. I forget what it is. When he joined up, he's with his piloting skills, he made his way into a pilot squadron, Red Squadron, along with other pilots by the name of Porkins and Biggs, well, who we come to yes. know and love from the films. And this is actually where we meet him in A New Hope. We meet him pretty briefly after, shortly after he joined up with the Alliance.
So this was kind of his first gig too, like Luke's that briefing.
It was one of his early entries into battle. I think he had gone out and fought in smaller battles, nothing to the size of what they do at Yavin. But okay. I think this is one of his first forays into the world of battle.
That's kind
of
neat.
With the rebellion.
I like that.
Yeah, they're both pretty young. And Wedge was actually pretty skeptical of the entire plan. He thought that the attack on the Death Star was impossible, and he didn't think that even a computer was able to send the proton torpedoes into a tiny porthole like they were supposed to.
When they're flying up and Chris has been playing the quote, they're all kind of getting themselves ready for battle. He's the only one that says something that's like a gut reaction. Like it's almost like you said, he's skeptical. He's the only one that's like reacting to the Death Star. Like he's already convinced this isn't going to work.
All right, and he's never heard of the Force, because that was like 19 years ago. Anyone ever heard of the Force? So of course everyone's forgotten about it by now.
Well, anyway, he's young. He's young. They may not have talked to him about the Force as a child.
I've heard about World War II when I was a child, and that wasn't 19 years ago.
Well, he probably knows about the Clone Wars, and he's probably heard about the Jedi. Potato, potato. Neither here nor there.
Okay. Hey, this is.
What's the deal, Tim, with this guy? And maybe we'll end up doing a whole episode on this guy, so maybe not get into it too much now. But this guy that's in the briefing, his name's like John T. Brannon. Or something like that. But people have been calling this guy Fake Wedge in the Star Wars universe because he kind of looks like Wedge. And some people think that that guy was supposed to be like an alternate Wedge. Did you find anything about that guy?
Okay, the guy you're talking about, Fake Wedge, is actually supposed to be Wedge. There's a whole story of history along with that. And we'll get to that when we get to the behind-the-scenes information. But there is something that goes along with that. But that guy that's sitting next to Luke is actually supposed to be Wedge.
Okay.
But he is Fake Wedge.
Okay. Cause there were some people, we did our obscure character tournament and I had this guy in there and he was listed as a guy named John D. Brannon. And I had some people tell me that that's not supposed to be Wedge, but you're saying in the research you found that guy was supposed to be Wedge and they just,
that guy is supposed to be Wedge. Obviously there's been some retconning, because that guy and the Wedge, as we all come to know and love, don't look anything like him. Don't look anything alike, but that is supposed to be Wedge.
Okay.
Well, we see all the events that happen in A New Hope. You know, they go in. Wedge can't do anything more, so he gets out of there, and then Luke and Han and Chewie go in and they blow up the Death Star. And then we see Luke, Han, and Luke and Han getting a medal, but Wedge also, he was the only other survivor of the entire battle, but he gets no medal.
Absolutely.
He may not have actually blown up the Death Star, but he was very instrumental in Luke getting there.
Absolutely. Yeah,
he would have thought he would have got a medal.
He's one of the few survivors of the Battle of Yavin, and you know, he does get damaged, and he has to leave, and he apologizes as he leaves.
Yeah, it's a nice guy.
I want to explore this for a second. It's a little offish topic, but it's about Wedge. There's been several, I've read several things about supposedly seeing Wedge crash on the Death Star and whatnot, but I always remember him saying sorry when he flies off. Where do people get this from? And apparently even the actor, whose name I've already forgotten, was like, you know, quoted saying when he saw this movie, he's like, well, I guess that's it for me. And then he was surprised to be in the next ones. Where does this scene come from? I can't pinpoint him ever even mistakenly thinking he crashed.
No.
Do you guys know what I'm talking about, though? Or is that just, am I the only one that read this stuff?
I heard that before, too.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it was an honor for him to be back. He's like, I thought I died.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm with Matt. I've never heard this urban legend. Why would anyone think the last time you see him, he gets shot and one of his engine kind of glows and Luke tells him he can't do any good back there. And he goes, sorry.
And he flies away in his Eddie Murphy voice.
And he takes off. And that's the last time you see him. There's no crash after that.
It's possible that on set, maybe they told him, we're just going to do this and you're going to fly off and someone's going to blow you up and you're going to die. It's possible that while he was on set, maybe someone on the crew told him that they're going to insert in his ship being blown up. Maybe that's where that came from.
The only thing I can think of where an audience might get it from is the last shot where isn't it just Luke, the Millennium Falcon, and a Y-Wing that are running away from the Death Star at the end? But still, Wedge already left. So no, that wouldn't work either. Never mind. That theory doesn't go either.
Was there a Y-Wing?
He's got a head start on
him. Yeah. So that's, no, forget that. That's not, even if there wasn't a Y-Wing, if I'm mistaken there, that still doesn't work out because Veg is already gone. So I don't know where this story comes from.
Yeah, that's weird. I mean, he, and like Matt just said, without him, Luke would probably die during the battle because there's a scene, Luke has a TIE fighter rhino on him and he knows he's being tracked. He knows he's about to be shot down and he's calling for Biggs. He keeps a blast at Biggs. Like he's calling for Biggs to help him. And I don't know what the hell Biggs is doing.
He's a spot in the trench at this point.
Not yet, but. Yeah, this is when he's still alive. And there's the awesome scene of Wedge shooting the TIE fighter and flying
through it.
Explosion.
That was awesome. Mm-hmm.
And he thanks him. I mean, without Wedge, I mean, he saves Luke's ass there. Without that, there's no Star Wars.
I also heard.
That was Star Wars.
I actually heard too when Luke shows him Wedge his like medal, Wedge says,
"Look at the size of that thing."
Where was the medal hanging from?
Ooh. Oh, it gets funnier and funnier.
But I agree. Wedge should have been there. He should have been with Han and Luke, and Chewie should have got a medal too. They all should have got medals.
You think they had a debriefing at the end and drunk Jim Henson was like, so you left the battle scene, huh? And just kind of shook his head and walked away and mumbled, no medal for him. You run away.
No medal for you.
Back in my day.
Back in my day. The
Force was with us.
That has bothered me.
But eventually after the events of episode 4, he forms a new pilot squadron, come to famously be known as Rogue Squadron. He forms it with Luke, Dak Ralter, Zeb Zaneska, and Wes Jansen, among other pilots that we see in Empire Strikes Back. But after the formation of Rogue Squadron, there is a shit ton of story that takes place in a shit ton of books and a shit ton of comics. Too many to detail here.
I was going
to
say... I was going to say the X-Wing series alone. I mean, Wedge is apart from – actually, I'm going to take it back. It's been a while since I read him, but Wedge, I would say, is the main character throughout this book And it's a 10-book series. And they're full books. They're not little novellas. They are 300-page-plus books. And it's, and I'm not complaining. This is one of my favorite series. So just that alone, I could see where they got a ton of information, because he's in every story of these 10 books.
He is a main character in every one of those books.
Yeah. Or is it 9 or 10? It might be 9, but yeah. Okay. So whatever. I was trying to look it up to get the other names. So it looks like it was 9. So, okay. I'm sorry. The one's short, but still, that's a lot of damn books.
And these take place between Empire and Jedi? Is that when they take place?
No, I think these take place post Jedi.
Oh, okay.
But there's all sorts of books and comics. I mean, he shows up in the Marvel comics. He's actually, plays a major role in certain storylines in the Marvel comics. I mean, he was a popular character way back around the time of the release of Empire. He was a huge character for diehard fans back then.
Well, why do you think? I mean, I know why I love him. To me, he's one of my favorite characters. He's one of my top 10 favorite Star Wars characters. And I talk about him to my son, like, with this respect and admiration, like he's a real person. I feel so stupid when I do it, but I have such affection for this character, and so do a lot of people. Why do you think that is? It's just because he's in it a lot?
I think because he's one of the supporting, if not the only supporting character you can pinpoint surviving from being and is in the movies. Sure, General Dodonna probably survived, but you don't see him in Empire Jedi. Trying to think of some others, some couple of the other pilots who I don't even know their names, but this is a character who you hear his name, you see him. He's not a main character, but he's in every one of the original trilogy movies. That's why I like him, that he managed to survive the whole thing.
And for those that are in the EU, he's a very likably written character. He's a very moral guy. He's kind of like, you know, Clark Kent, where he's sort of like a Boy Scout. He's just there's no controversy with him. He's a super nice dude, very moral, very upstanding.
Yeah, that's
and I think that even comes through in the performance that Dennis Lawson gives us. He sort of shows you that he's a stand up guy.
I thought you were about to say he's very Star Warsy.
Well, that's what it seems about him. He's got personality, which a lot of these characters don't have. And his personality to me is intense, but not like Han Solo. He's not cocky and a jerk like Han Solo. He's not naive like Luke is at the beginning. He's just intense. Even when in the Battle of Hoth, when they're have the tow cables attached and he's doing the thing and he's like, one more pass, you know, like he means that shit.
Cable out. Let her go.
He's a fighter. He's a true soldier of the rebellion.
Oh yeah.
And he is the Ollie North. Well, maybe not the Ollie North, but he is. I'm trying to think of a good comparison. I don't know enough about military to give a good comparison, but he is a true blood soldier for the rebellion. He's the poster child.
Yeah.
Yes.
And his passion in the very few scene, not very few, he's in it quite a bit, but every time you see him, you kind of feel his intensity and his passion. And like
good
you
shot,
said,
Jensen,
he's one of only 9 characters that's in the all the original trilogy, and that's some select company. And I'm not including Boba Fett sticking him in the special edition.
I forgot about that.
But I mean, the company that he's in as far as characters, it's the major characters and him.
And think about it. He's pretty pivotal in much of the major rebellion successes. I mean, obviously the Death Star, he kept Luke alive. We already discussed that. He was instrumental into knocking the AT-ATs out of the fight so that the rebellion's transports could get away. And of course, we haven't gotten to this yet, but he was certainly instrumental in the destruction of the second Death Star.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's like you said, one of the leaders in that Battle of Hoth, and he's the guy that knocks down the AT-AT. And then, you know, and like the whole time every time you see him, he's offering like encouragement to the other.
Yeah, so, right. Not only is he effective, but he's a great, I don't even know if he's a leader, but motivator? Well, I mean, poster child for the rebellion, like I just said. I'm just pretty much rehashing what I said, just in different terms. Damn it, I want to join the army now, God damn it. I'm going to change my name to Wedge Antilles.
Well, what's weird is as we're talking about this right now, his recent original trilogy action figure is worth $400 on eBay. He's the hottest figure today. Is Wedge.
Everybody Wedge. Loves Wedge.
Yep. Okay, we'll head back to his story here. We go to the Battle of Hoth. Yeah, and as Matt had said, he was instrumental in this. I mean, Luke actually became the Wedge of that battle, where Luke became ineffectual. His gunner was killed, Dak. And so Luke actually couldn't do anything. He was the Wedge of that battle. And Wedge was the first one to take down an AT-AT at Luke's instruction, just use the tow cables.
Yeah, that he, and I've seen people complain about this recently, that it's almost like a film flub at this point, where people, Luke says a line about the armor being too strong for blasters, and as soon as they knock down that AT-AT, they shoot it and it blows up.
That armor's too strong for blasters.
Well, I've always defended that scene in my head, because they shoot it in that neck joint, which is probably not armor because it needs to be flexible. That's probably what the only vulnerable point is, the top of that neck joint.
I like that, Matt.
That's good.
That's what I've always assumed too, but I was looking online, just being a dork, looking for Star Wars stuff, and I've seen people are really upset about this. They say it's like a film flaw in the movie.
People are stupid.
That got him.
I got a question though about this, and I never really thought about that till we were doing this Wedge stuff. After the battle's over and they've lost the battle, basically.
Ooh, I have a new theory.
Okay.
When the AT-AT fell, it fell on its effectively its chin, and it cracked open the armor, so they actually shot in the crack, and that's what blew it up.
That's better.
You should write some fan fiction.
No, I should not.
But after the battle, you know, Luke has crashed and just gotten one of the AT-ATs by himself, and he's walking back through the snow, and they're all kind of like sitting around getting ready to leave. I never kind of understood what happened to someone like Wedge, who was out on a snow speeder, and the battle's over and everyone's leaving the planet. Where does he go?
In a tauntaun.
Can snow speeders fly in space? I never got the impression that they could.
I never thought they could.
Well, we see what we think is the end of the battle, but the battle is actually still going on. After Han gets away, there is still a battle going on inside the base and a little bit outside the base. And Wedge was actually very instrumental in helping to defend the retreating troops, including helping to help Luke get back to his X-Wing. So they all got back to, I guess, some waiting X-Wing somewhere. So Luke flies off. Wedge is still down there on the ground helping to coordinate retreat and to defend the soldiers escaping.
Okay.
So he's one of the last ones to leave. And they actually retreat. From what I understand, they retreat to go back to Admiral Akbar's flagship. And I wrote the name of it down.
Mon Calamari Cruiser.
Home One is Admiral Akbar's flagship. That's really their main base of operations, I think, after they lose Echo Base.
I was going to call it the appetizer.
after Luke, you know, gets that AT-AT and he's walking back, and you actually, there's a scene of him getting in his X-Wing, and somebody says to him, and I was going to ask you guys if it's Wedge, somebody says to him, "Good luck, Luke. See you at the rendezvous point." Could that be Wedge? It almost even sounds like him. There's other people there getting in and out of ships, and it looks like there's some kind of, like, you know, safety zone that they're all doing, and this is where Luke's X-Wing is, that he gets in to go to Dagobah, and somebody talks to him.
I always thought that was him.
You thought it was Wedge?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I never even thought about that. I don't know. It's been a little while since I've seen Empire. I'll have to take note of that next time I see it.
I'm going to go with the assumption that is him, because... So most of those guys die, like you mentioned. Zev Zaneska, he dies, and Jansen and Wedge just kind of that knock down that AT-AT, and then you never see him again.
Good shot, Jansen.
That goddamn Jansen! I'm so mad at him because he's the reason Jack Porkins is dead.
That's right. Came down with space flu.
After the Battle of Hoth
and the events that we see in Empire Strikes Back, Luke actually steps down as leader of a rogue squadron. And obviously, Antilles is the most qualified and was the popular choice to take command. So he did become the squad leader for Rogue Squadron. But after Hoth, I mean, the Empire or the Rebellion was in kind of dire straits. I mean, they had lost their base. They had lost a good number of their force. So one of his main duties was to try to rebuild and retrain the pilots for the rebellion at this point. So he became a trainer at this point, in addition to becoming a leader for his squadron.
This is before Return of the Jedi?
This is all before Return of the Jedi. Okay. And again, during this time, there are a shit ton of books and a shit ton of comics that detail this time period. I believe he had something to do in Shadows of the Empire. And actually, a lot of the story that I saw in this comes from some of the video games that came out, like Rogue Squadron and X-Wing.
That was a hell of a game.
One of the games that came up, it was one of the ones, I think it was for the GameCube. And when I saw this, it made me think of this really awesome scene where you're playing Wedge. You can play Wedge and you can play Luke on some of these games. And you play Wedge going to Geonosis, and you're on the surface of Geonosis as Wedge walking around, but you're fighting battle droids. And I always thought that was kind of a neat juxtaposition of an original trilogy character fighting iconic images from the prequel trilogy. And I think this game came out before episode 3. It was shortly after the second episode came out. And I always really like that level. That's the thing that pops into my mind most when I think of those video games, is that particular level.
Well, it seems like they're just going to, any video game, anything, comic book, like you said, they're going to stick him in there, because he's almost not to Boba Fett's stature, but a fan favorite in so many ways.
Like a few years ago, the Star Wars Insider held a poll, and Wedge was actually voted the 8th most popular character in the Star Wars universe at that time. I didn't get the rankings. I don't know who was ahead of him and who was, I don't know who was 7, and I don't know who was 9. I don't know those numbers, but I do know that he came in 8th place. So that's pretty high rankings.
That's not bad.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Like Chris said, with the action figures, you know, like I remember when the special editions came out, Chris and I, I've heard Kevin Smith tell similar stories, and I thought it was funny when he would tell the stories, because this is what Chris and I would do. We would go on hunts for action figures and dolls and all that stuff. And I remember there wasn't a Wedge action figure for like ever.
Yeah.
I mean, not in the original Kenner line. And then they finally released one, and it came with the stupid Millennium Falcon carrying case.
Yeah.
And I was so pissed off because I didn't want that carrying case, but I wanted the Wedge action figure. Oh, yeah. I was like, and I remember,
that's right.
I remember contemplating stealing it, just ripping it out of the package. I didn't do that. But Chris and I used to
just put it in the beer glass you already had in your pocket.
That's true. Yeah. We would go. We knew at the Toys R Us's when they would get their shipments.
Yeah.
We knew the people. We would get there when the boxes were.
We would
being
hit
opened.
Like Toys R Us, KB, you know, Kmart, Kitty City.
Absolutely. We would sit in parking lots and wait for Toys R Us's and whatnot to be opened, so we could go in and find these wares.
Well, there's a new line of original trilogy figures, like on the old vintage back cards, and he's out there now. And he's
I might actually get one of those now. I'm all out of date and shit.
My old housemate Jeremy actually found one of those new Wedge figures at a Kmart. I think it was the Kmart in Quakertown. Actually, he found that Wedge, which he sent me an immediate text to let me know that he found this. I was like, no way!
That's a hot one to find.
I'm actually holding my Wedge figure in my hand now.
What was that?
I'm holding my Wedge.
You have a Wedge?
I have a Wedge Antilles action figure. I won it at Celebration 4 as part of the 501st droid hunt that they have. It's a little game they do every Celebration. And I won a cool duffel bag. And inside the duffel bag was a Wedge Antilles action figure. So he's one of my prized action figure pieces in my collection. I'm holding him right now. He's right in front of me during this podcast.
Very cool.
I just want to make it clear that I'm the only one of the four of us that don't have a dorky looking for Wedge action figure story.
Out of yourself?
Yes, I am, actually.
For those out there that are collectors, I heard that they are going to reissue another vintage Wedge figure. I think it'll have a different picture on the package, but they're going to reissue that figure again.
I've given myself.
Anyway, we go through. Yeah. Then we come to Return of the Jedi. And actually, Wedge is one of the people that actually planned the entire attack on the second Death Star. He worked with Lando, Admiral Akbar. Lando and Admiral Akbar and him, Wedge, were the planners for this entire battle. If for this,
Dave, what did you give your son?
No, I was going to say that I've given my son all my Star Wars figures, and there is no Wedge, so he's taken the old Luke and the X-Wing pilot from, you know, like the original Star Wars, and just called that Wedge because he wants a Wedge and there isn't one. So that's all I was going to say.
My cousin Ralph, when I was a kid, again, as we said, no Wedge action figure, he took the B-Wing pilot and called him Wedge. He's like, that's Wedge. So yeah. He used a B-Wing pilot from the vintage line, from the original line, and called him Wedge.
I'm totally checked anyway, out now. Are we moving
on
yet?
For the battle, for the second Death Star battle, Lando was codenamed Gold Leader, but Wedge renamed his squadron Red Wing to honor the squad that he fought with against in the Battle of Yavin. And they say that he even flew the same exact X-Wing. Antilles and Lando, they fought their way into the Death Star. So this was a completely different attack plan. They actually had to go into the Death Star to destroy this thing. And it was while Lando and Nine Numb were the brute force getting in there, Antilles was the actual guy who actually shot the kill shot that took out the reactor core and effectively destroyed the second Death Star. But again, I didn't see him get a medal at that. And then after the battle, he comes back down to the moon of Endor, and we actually see Wedge out there partying down at Bright Tree Village with the Ewoks.
This is my favorite scene, I think, of all of them. I love that he's in there because he's a major character, and having him in that scene, it kind of gives him the respect he deserves. It kind of validates him. I think it's one of the. I mean, I think maybe I'm alone on this, that I like the special edition version of this end scene better than the original Yub Nub scene. I don't know how you guys feel about it. You don't like it better?
I dislike them equally. How's that?
I like the music better. There's a place in my heart for Yub Nub. I like the music better, but I also like them going and showing the other planets around the universe. But did they re-edit any of the Ewok Village stuff? Did they throw extra scenes in there that weren't there? I'm not talking about like throwing Hayden Christensen in on the DVD release, but did they show other scenes in that?
Yeah, I think there's one or two shots of new Ewoks celebrating.
Okay.
You're against that?
No.
Okay. I'm with Tim on this one, that I love the music better in that one. And that scene, I mean, I'm not ashamed to admit that I get a little choked up when I watch that scene. I think because of the way it's an emotional moment, and my affinity for him makes it greater.
Dave, you start to sound like me.
Yeah,
that's
scene,
not good.
I remember how I felt when I was 10 years old, knowing, at least in my mind then, that Star Wars was over.
Yeah.
And that scene makes me sad. And I love Wedge and the fact that he's in there. It's so great the way he's hugging Luke and shaking hands with Chewbacca. I mean, he's in there where he belongs, to me, as one of the greatest Star Wars characters. I love that scene. That to me is maybe one of the best scenes in the entire saga.
Remember the scene, this has nothing to do with our conversation at all. Remember the scene at the end where they're banging on the Stormtroopers' helmets?
Yeah.
I just heard this past week there's a book coming out of the Ewok book of what happened to those Stormtroopers.
They ate them
and tore them apart and cooked these Stormtroopers and saved their helmets.
Really?
Yes, I just heard that.
That's something.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, they're going to cook and eat Han Solo and Luke Skywalker.
That's true.
So Ewoks, let's face the facts here, people. Ewoks are not cuddly. The Ewoks eat people.
They fucking werewolves. Blink creepy now.
Yeah. They're not cute and cuddly. They are man-eaters.
That's someone trying to make Ewoks seem cooler.
I see nothing of what you're referring to, Chris.
Wait, are you serious?
Yes. I typed in new Ewok book, cannibals, new Ewok book, eat stormtroopers, nothing. Where'd you hear this?
I can't say it on the air.
Don't fucking ever say what I think you're going to say.
If this book is out there, if this is indeed a real book, I may have to pick this one up to read it. Is it done by the guy that did like Red Harvest?
That's what I was assuming this was going to be, like an Ewok zombie movie or a book, but I see nothing of what Chris is talking about.
I could be totally wrong. But
that's funny. I think that same source told you about 10,000 different Blu-ray things that didn't actually come true, too.
But this is another stupid question that's not even dealing with Wedge. Are they still clones? Like,
we are way off topic now.
Are they still clones under the Stormtrooper outfits?
Well,
I think they are.
You kind of talked before. They're not the same strain, so they maybe look different or sound different than Tamara Morrison, but
right.
They're somehow in that bloodline.
Still, like all those years later.
Yeah.
Okay.
Really?
I don't know. I'm
I don't think so, because Luke and Biggs talk about the academy and this and the other thing. I think at this point it's like a volunteer army.
That's what I always thought. Like they go in and that is your suit. That is your outfit.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the uniform of the bad guys for all intents and purposes.
That's what I always thought, you know.
Okay. I never really thought about it till right now.
And here's another question. When you guys shit... No, I'm kidding.
It looks like an Ewok.
You're right. You're totally right about Wedge, and he kind of forges his name in this battle and blowing up the second Death Star, because we may maybe mention this on our Nine Nub podcast, and Chris and I went and saw Kevin Smith, and Chris was able to ask him a question, who's his favorite obscure Star Wars character, and he said Nine Nub, but in that answer, he talked about Wedge,
yeah.
And how, just like Tim said, Wedge doesn't get his props for blowing up the second friggin' Death Star.
Yes,
that's true.
He fires and then he's on his way out.
He shoots the power regulator. Yeah. Lando tells him to shoot the power regulator, whatever that is. And he tells him, it's kind of funny. It's almost like the only time he ever seems a little snide. Lando's like, Wedge, get up there and shoot the power regulator. And he tells him, I'm already on my way up.
Yeah.
It's almost like he's like, dude, I got this.
Yeah, I know my job. You know, yeah. Why don't you get your shit in gear?
Yeah, I've been in all three movies. Where you been?
Yeah, exactly.
You were making Nighthawks with Stallone when I was in episode 4. Love, Wedge.
Love, Wedge.
Can this episode number end?
Yeah, well, we're gonna keep going with this.
Okay, I'm going to get a beer while you talk, and I'm sure I won't miss anything.
So, Return of the Jedi ends, and there are a shit ton of books and a shit ton of comics that feature... Wedge's adventures. And again, there are Wedge fans out there. I'm a Wedge fan, but I'm not going to go and read all these books. And I'm not, to be honest, I don't really care the specifics of most of these adventures. But there were a couple little points that I would like to pull out. After Return of the Jedi, he is considered a military hero. So
good.
But he does continue to be a pilot. So he's working as a pilot. But he also helps out the New Republic, I guess, is what it would be at this point, in a diplomatic capacity. So he goes to other planets and uses his celebrity, I guess, to bring goodwill from the New Republic. Eventually he forms a new pilot squadron called Wraith Squadron. And In this squadron, this is the squadron that Vort Sabinring, the Gamorrean guard pilot that we talked about briefly in the Gamorrean guard episode. This is Piggy. Yes,
yeah.
this is the squadron that Piggy is part of, and also in this squadron is someone named Jesmyn Akbar, the niece of Admiral Akbar, and there are a bunch of other characters, and this is very colorful. This is a very United Colors of Benetton. There's all sorts of aliens in this squadron, which is kind of interesting to see these different aliens in X-Wing outfits.
And Wedge is like the leader.
Wedge is the leader of the Wraith Squadron. He continues to pilot adventures. I mean, he is as you said, he is a lifelong soldier, as Matt said, I think.
I think it's in the very first book. If it's not in the very first book, it's early on in that series of books of the X-Wing series, he actually actively avoids this particular conversation with Admiral Akbar because he knows he's about to promote him and he doesn't want to be promoted. He still wants to be, he wants to be a bush pilot. He doesn't, he likes his position and he doesn't want to, you know, doesn't want to move up. He loves what he's doing.
This is the best, and maybe because of the source material is so good. This is one of the best backstories and you know, extended universe stuff that I've heard. I don't read books, and you know, maybe that's there's something wrong with me because I find it an incredible waste of time.
Agree.
But you know, I'd rather watch movies and do stuff like that. But if I was going to read a book, I guess I would read a book like this because I want more. I want Wedge spinoff movie. I want the Wedge Chronicles. I want a whole thing going on here.
These are on audiobook, Dave, and these are actually fun to listen to. You might enjoy that more than reading it.
Yeah, I don't read.
I'm with you.
So it's a full 43 years after the Battle of Yavin that Wedge finally retires. So he is a soldier until he is almost 65 when he finally retires. He has kids. He has gotten married. You know, through the books, he's had several relationships with different female beings, whether they're of human or otherwise. But he's had a lot of relationships. He's married. He has a daughter that's also a pilot. His whole family becomes part of the military. It's a military family. He's Major Dad. But his final tale has never been written. I think they will continue to write stories about Wedge. One of these stories eventually may have his end of days. His death has not been written, so that is still a story yet to be told.
Well, that's good. I was worried about what you were going to say at the end, and maybe because he is so beloved and there's depth to the character, they're not ready to cash this one in yet. They're going to let it open for people.
Oh, Dave, let me ask you what death, I don't want to say be happy about, what death would you be okay with for this character? What, in what circumstance, if you can give me one?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. It would have to be something where he was sacrificing himself for the good of the rebellion, because that's what his whole life has been about. That's why I was even wondering about if Ramus Antilles was his dad, because I'm sitting there making my own fan fiction up in my head when I'm watching that last scene in Return of the Jedi, and he's just kind of observing the party, and he's just smiling. I mean, Lando's dancing, you know, he's doing his little Lando shuffle, and he's just kind of observing, and it's almost like I'm thinking what he's thinking, like this started way back when with, you know, his parents, and, you know, in my mind, it was this other guy, but it could have been anybody, and now the rebellion has won, and he's just, like, satisfied.
Just relieved.
Yeah. And it would have to be something where, like, even as an older man, he somehow furthered the cause of the rebellion.
What if you
I totally agree.
Find out that rather than dying in battle and in a ship, what if he was going up the ladder on his X-Wing and he fell and broke his neck and died?
That would not be satisfying, I can say that.
What if he had a heart attack having sex with a very attractive yet talented and risky pilot he was taking under his wing for the new Rogue Squadron?
Mm-hmm. That would be interesting, but also not satisfying, because to me that
it was for him.
It was exactly yeah.
That would betray his character.
Oh, okay, all right. He's married, isn't he?
Well, just I know Chris and I are huge Indiana Jones fans, and I was dying in the fourth one to have them kill him. As much as I love Indiana Jones, I hope they make a fifth one, and I hope he dies, because I want him to have a fantastic
death scene.
Death that that is for the greater good of whatever, humanity, a rebellion, the country, something like that. Like, he deserves a fitting death, and so does Wedge. And I hope whoever writes it one day, maybe George Lucas. I know that would make Matt happy.
He's a great writer.
I hope whoever does it, and I'm sure they will, they'll give it the attention that it deserves.
What if he choked to death on an ice cream cone given to him by Wilro Hood?
That's something you would.
He's I'm lactose intolerant.
He has a major brain freeze. Oh, that's terrible.
Now they better give him the honor and the respect that he deserves, because if they don't, they're going to have a fan revolt on their hand.
It'd be great if someone wrote like a 700 page X-Wing follow up book, and just like in the end, be like, oh, and Wedge died. That's like the last line of the book.
What if he got a massive wedgie?
BTW, Wedge died.
And I killed him.
Do people dress up like him at cons? You guys go to this
all
the time.
Yeah,
how do you know it's Wedge?
Hello, my name is Wedge.
I think, I'm sure. I mean, no offense, all the fat X-Wings are Porkins.
Yeah.
Or Piggy. It's
Wedge.
They're not loose. So if you have dark hair and you don't have a mustache,
you're not Biggs.
You're if you have a mustache, you're Biggs. If you don't have one, you're Wedge. And if you have blonde hair, you're Luke.
That's how you do.
Is anyone Dak?
I haven't seen a Dak.
I would go as Luke and put a dummy on my back that was like all dead, and that would be Dak.
That would be an awesome costume.
A smushed dummy.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
Well, I'm totally satisfied, and Tim, I know it was a lot to get through. You did a good job of through it.
There's a lot of facts about
him. I'm totally satisfied with this backstory and the fact that there isn't a final fate.
Yep. I don't know, but Tim, don't say, okay, now this one, he meets Boba Fett, shakes his hand.
No,
he temporarily goes undercover and works for Jabba the Hutt.
Hey, going through that gigantic story on Wikipedia, he pretty much meets everybody. He comes in contact with just about everybody,
but it makes sense.
In the Rebellion and the Empire, and anybody that was a smuggler or bounty hunter, he comes in contact with all of them.
It makes sense for a guy like him to do that, though, than a minor character.
It's far more believable for what his character does throughout the saga as opposed to some of these guys we've talked about, like Malakali, for one.
Well, I've got some behind the scenes information here.
No, you don't get it, Tim. Dave said you were done. That's what that nice outro is about. I'm just kidding.
We got some interesting stuff here. Now, in early drafts of the script, he was merely known as Red 2. He did not have a full name of Antilles. His first, they also referred to him as Wedge. He was Wedge, who was Red 2, no full name. His last name was first mentioned in the novelization for Star Wars. And interestingly enough, some of the early script drafts before Chewbacca had a name, the Wedge's Red 2 character had a nickname of Chewie. And that changed. From what I understand, the Chewbacca and the nickname Chewie were assigned to the Wookiee in the fourth draft. I don't know how many drafts there are out there. I've read a few of them. They're all different. The original casting for Wedge was an actor by the name of Colin Higgins. He is the one that is now referred to as Fake Wedge. Chris and I have met him, but I do not remember any interaction with him. We met him at Celebration 4. He was there. That's the only convention I've ever seen him, this Colin Higgins character, at. But he was hired to play Wedge. But he only worked for one day. He could not remember his lines. His character originally had a whole lot of dialogue to have during the briefing scene, but they kind of cut corners with him, and they gave him one line after all that. And his one line is, "That's impossible, even for a computer."
Right.
At the end of that one day, he was fired.
See how lucky you are, Chris, to survive more than one day on the films you worked on?
And we have him on our poster, Tim?
We do. I believe we do. He was at Celebration 4. I believe we got him on our poster.
And Wedge, Dennis Lawson, we haven't seen him yet, have we?
Dennis Lawson. Dennis Lawson is the guy that they brought in to replace him as Wedge. I think Dennis Lawson was hired to just play a regular pilot, but then they assigned him the name Wedge. No, Dennis Lawson is very elusive. In terms of the Star Wars fan community, he doesn't completely ignore it. He's done a few conventions over in Europe, but I don't think he's done anything over here in the U.S. So he's very high on my Celebration 6 wish list.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Dennis Lawson, he's had a very full British acting career. He's been on sorts of movies, television. He does a lot of work on the West End stage. In terms of Star Wars, he narrates a lot of audiobooks, including a lot of Star Wars audiobooks, and possibly some of those X-Wing books that Matt enjoys.
You know, he doesn't the ones that I have, but I know that, you know, different countries tend to have re-records, so he might do the British ones. And if that's true, I would love to get a hold of a copy of those. Those would be great to hear.
He is also the uncle of Obi-Wan Kenobi, Ewan McGregor, And actually, I've been told I've heard interviews with Ewan that when he was considering taking the role of Star Wars, he actually contacted his uncle to ask him about it. And his uncle pretty much gave him the pros and cons of being in Star Wars, basically saying, once you're in Star Wars, you are Star Wars for the rest of your life. It's something that everybody's going to ask you about. So I'm sure. So Dennis probably gets asked about Star Wars on a daily basis.
That's probably not as true with Ewan McGregor, though. Like, Ewan McGregor and Natalie Portman and some of these people from the prequels have been able to separate themselves from Star Wars.
Yeah.
So his advice was probably good, but not necessarily correct.
For his sake, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's had a pretty strong career before and after, so I'm sure he gets asked about Star Wars on a regular basis. We're talking Ewan McGregor here, but probably not every day.
Right.
And then we're gonna go to the radio dramas. I think Wedge has been portrayed by more actors than any other character in Star Wars. He's been voiced by so many characters in video games, and Dennis Lawson actually does voice him in a few video games. But in the radio dramas, he appears in all three of the radio dramas for the original trilogy. In the first one, he is portrayed by Menschak Taylor, who many of us will know from the great 80s movie Mannequin, where he played Hollywood Montrose.
Right, he's the decorator from what you call it, the with Delta Burke and
Designing Women.
Oh, yeah, he's also in design.
That's funny.
So I know him from Mannequin. A lot of other people know him from Designing Women. For Empire Strikes Back, he was performed by a man named Don Scardino, and Don Scardino is an actor and director and producer, done a lot of television. But currently, he's a producer on one of my favorite shows on television right now, 30 Rock.
Meh.
Dave's not a Tina Fey fan.
And then
I'm on
for
Team Dave then for this conversation.
For Return of the Jedi, he was voiced by an actor by the name of John Matthews. There's a lot of John Matthews out there on IMDb. I'm uncertain of which one this – I didn't feel like going and figuring out who this John Matthews was. So he may be someone that we've heard before. He may be just on this radio drama.
Well,
and then billions of people have done on video games and other things. So
I hope one day you guys get to meet the real Wedge and get him on your poster.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
That to me would be a crowning achievement as far as your poster goes. So I hope you guys get to do that one day.
It's a biggie.
I hope you never meet him.
Son of a bitch. Are you guys ready?
Website.
That's all I got.
Yay!
Hey! Well, just in time for me to get to work on time.
Good shot, Jensen.
There you go, Matt.
Yes.
Any websites on this guy?
Yes.
Probably a lot.
Huh?
Probably a lot. Would expect this guy.
Well, I was hoping there'd be, I was hoping there'd be a Dennis Lawson official website, but there doesn't seem to be. There's the domain's out there, but it's for sale. So I guess someone bought it and sat on it, hoping to make a buck. There doesn't seem to be any fan sites for him or for Wedge specifically. However, on this site I never heard of before, but I've been actually paging through this evening, called, I might say this wrong, but I think it's pronounced Gunazin. It's Gunaxin. It's called gunazin.com, stuff for guys. It's like a Maxim site, but online. And they have an article about him where they declared him the greatest wingman of all time. So that's the one I'll go with.
I definitely checked that out. That's pretty. He is the greatest rebel pilot in the history of Star Wars.
He is. If he has a wedgie, what'd you say?
I have me up my ass.
There you go. I knew someone would say it. Well, guess what?
What?
Trivia.
You're just excited because you're close to
this. I did good. I'm shocked I'm doing as good as I'm doing.
Why? You like Star Wars?
Yeah, I do.
You just don't remember any of it.
It's exactly right.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go through the scores. Tim is still in the lead with 7, but he's gone 2 episodes in a row without getting one right.
Loser.
And Chris is next with 6.
So for real, I guess
by the end of the show, you could be in the lead.
Could be.
As could Matt. He could at least be tied.
I could.
With 5, and I got no shot with 3. Yeah. But we will begin, as we always do, with Chris.
All righty.
Your question is coming from the Revenge of the Sith era.
Oh, shit.
And the question goes a little something like this. What language do Wookiees speak?
Wookiee-nese. Nah, I'm thinking.
I actually thought that was the answer.
2 points if you can get it without multiple choice, or 1 point if you get it with.
I should just pull a thing, just Wookiee-nese, and see if that's a thing, but I'll have choices.
Okay. The multiple choices are as follows. Do Wookiees speak Wookiee? Do they speak Shireel Wook?
Oh, boy.
Let me say that again. Shiree Wook. Do they speak Wookiee-ese?
Oh, come on!
Which is not what you said. You said Wookiee-nese.
Right. Wow. If that's the answer, that's close enough.
Taylor Potato.
Wookiee-ese, or do they speak Cash Wook? If you want me to spell any of these, I will.
Well, you know what? I'm going with summer school, and fortunately, it's C anyway, when I would have picked.
Yeah, it's Wookiee-ese.
Yeah,
that's your answer?
That's my answer.
It is incorrect.
Oh. Give it a shot.
The answer is Shiree Wook.
That's right.
Shiree Wook.
How could I forget that?
Yeah.
How could I even know that?
I would have picked that one as well.
It just sounded logical.
Well, you will not be taking the lead in this episode.
Nope.
But we're going to go over to Tim. So, Tim, your question is coming from the Phantom Menace era.
All right.
And the question
How does
is
that
this.
Keep happening?
I don't know. It's random.
Yeah.
This one.
Starting to have my doubts.
This one, good luck, Tim.
Oh, good.
Though generally slow, how fast can Dubaks run in short bursts?
Oh, my God.
And these answers.
I'm going to need multiple choice.
All right, these answers are in kilometers per hour, okay? We got up to 60 kilometers per hour, up to 40 kilometers per hour, up to 50, or up to 30. Okay, although generally slow, how fast can Dubaks run in short bursts? 60, 40, 50, or 30?
I'm going to say up to 40.
You're going with 40. That is incorrect.
For the last time, Admiral.
You should have went with C. It was up to 50.
See, I was thinking it wasn't going to be the highest one, and it wasn't going to be the lowest one. It was going to be one of the ones in between.
You're still lost.
Yeah.
Good thinking. Still got it wrong.
You still lost, is that what you said?
Yep.
That's nice. Let's see. All right. All right.
Let's go.
Picture. This is Matt's, and his is coming out of the Empire Strikes
All
Back.
All right.
Oh.
All right. Picture Luke Skywalker immersed in a bacta tank after being injured.
Mauled.
By attack.
In his underwear.
Okay. Next day, he's looking a little better, and he's rushed to the medical center after the bacta, and the next day, he's out, and his scars are healing, and Han Solo walks into the room. How strong does he say Luke looked after his stay in the bacta tank?
I hate to say this, but Tim's already had this question this round.
He has?
Yes.
How did that happen on the random?
It does sound familiar.
All right, should I just pick another one?
Yeah, and if I don't like that one, I'll answer this one. I'm just kidding. No, yeah, pick another one, because he did have that this round. Because he said it was strong enough to pull the ears off of Gundark.
Oh, now that you say that. See, I hate these. Sometimes when you get these, it's like a whole picture and a paragraph.
It's a whole story. Yeah,
it's a story, so I have to like paraphrase this entire paragraph into a question. All right, well, you're not going to like this, Matt. Your question is coming from the Phantom Menace era.
Why did I say anything?
And here's the question. After the Boonta Eve classic pod race, why did Gardilla the Hutt offer Watto a large sum of money?
I'm trying to think logically Star Wars and betting and pod racing wise, but I can't come up with anything. So I guess give me the multiple choice.
Okay. Was it A, as payment for an old debt, B, to purchase Anakin's pod racer, C, as payment for Anakin's win, or D, to regain custody of Anakin Skywalker.
Ooh, shit. That's good. Those last three are all good answers.
Yeah, they sound like they could all be the answer.
Did it say he offered him or paid him?
After the Bunta Eve classic pod race, why did Gardilla the Hutt offer Watto a large sum of money?
Wow. I'm going to say I don't know that it's not the winnings. Shit, I don't know. Okay, I liked the first one when I heard it. It's probably wrong, but I'm going to go with to buy the pod racer.
Okay, so that would be B, to purchase Anakin's pod racer. It is incorrect.
Is it the winnings?
It is to regain custody of Anakin.
Well, okay, good. That was the one I didn't think it would be. So that's no better. But
that was a cool question. I mean, as much as I hate that crap.
I know we talked about it on the Sebulba one, but Sebulba is the one that actually purchased the podcast. But no, I didn't know that about the Gardilla the Hutt. That's kind of neat.
And Gardilla the Hutt was Anakin's.
That's because it never happened. It's in some backstory someone made up.
Yeah. Like Wedge falling out of his X-Wing.
Right.
All right, Chris, I'm ready.
Okay. Are you ready for your question?
I'm ready. And
it is from...
I got to get one right because you guys are 0-3.
It is from the... It's from the Empire Strikes Back era.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
How strong did Luke look after getting out of the back to tank?
Strong enough to pull the ears off of Gundark. Is that the question?
No, but there's... Here is your clue.
Okay.
Okay. It's about AT-ATs.
Thank you.
You'll never get this.
Jeez, you had me all set up like I had a shot. All right.
I never even heard. How many AT-ATs is a Y-86 Titan capable of housing?
Huh.
So this must be the ship, because I know that this is a big stickler for some Star Wars fans. How did the AT-ATs even get to Hoth in the first place? This must be the ship that brought the...
You're right.
That brought the AT-ATs to Hoth. And... You know what? I'm not gonna. I need points.
Yeah.
1 point isn't gonna do me good enough. I am going to hope and guess that 3 is one of the answers.
Is that your final answer?
3 is my answer.
I don't even have to hit the button because 3 is not even a choice.
I was gonna say it's gotta be an even number, I think. That would make sense because whatever bay it would be in, you'd think it would hold an even amount on either side.
So, yeah,
it's 6, 4, 9, and 10.
Well, I hope it's 9 at least.
9 is the oddball.
At least I had the odd answer.
Let's see. And 9 C. So if you would have heard that for summer school, ready? No, I was wrong either way.
What is it?
It is B, 4.
Okay. Huh. Well, Matt was right. It would have been an even number. Oh man, I'm in trouble. But no, we were 0-4.
That's true. We're in no worse shape than we were when we started this round.
That's right. And if there's people listening that are getting these, hats off to you because these are unbelievable.
Yeah, these are.
But it's fun. I mean,
it is fun. I like knowing that you have no shot of getting the answer right.
Yeah, and I like. I mean, like the one that Matt had. That was an interesting question, at least.
Yeah.
Even if you get it wrong.
We would like to thank you for listening to our Star Wars character discussion about Wedge Antilles. Join us next time where you can stand up and we can talk about this guy who can't stand, Clegg Lars.
Thanks for listening to Star Wars in Character. Star Wars in Character is part of the NeoZaz.com network of podcasts. For more great podcasts and original entertainment, please visit www.neozaz.com. Star Wars in Character is not affiliated with nor endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox. Star Wars and all Star Wars universe characters, places, or Star Wars related items are the copyright of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. Visit www.swic.neozaz.com for the latest Star Wars in Character episodes and information.